There is a widespread view that fundamentalist faiths, branches that follow the letter of the religious law, are incompatible with LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning lives. And that's largely true. Last week, Israel's parliament rejected a bill that would allow gay couples access to surrogacy to start families. Ultra-Orthodox members of the governing coalition wouldn't allow it. A few months earlier, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish member of Israel's parliament was forced to resign after revealing he attended his nephew's same-sex wedding. Of course, Jewish Orthodoxy isn't the only fundamentalist group that rejects homosexuality, but we're focusing on it today because we're talking to an outlier. Ultra-Orthodox Rabbi Mike Moskowitz, who has come out not as gay, but as an LGBTQ ally, which cost him jobs, friends, and brought him a lot of hate mail. But Rabbi Moskowitz, you've also said you think this is what a holy decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're all put in this world for a specific purpose. And for me, I've found clarity in the invitation to kind of expand the space that religion, I think, is meant to provide as a container to help support relationships with God. And there's just a huge segment of society that is being told there's no room for you here. And as a fundamentalist, I believe that God is everywhere all the time. And so we need some restorative religion to heal for some of the trauma that has been meted out by those who want to constrict the space that God occupies.
You just said something that I had never thought of in that way. Religion as a container to support a relationship with God. So you're saying that if religion prohibits a part of the person to be in that container, they're not really having that relationship with God.
I think that God is in some sort of prefabricated, mass-produced space. And each person needs to ask themselves, what does God want from me being who I am in this relationship?
Look, we want to rush to say that we're talking about Judaism. We just happen to be because you are Jewish. But all of Judaism doesn't reject homosexuality. The Reform movement actually embraces the LGBTQ movement. Conservative Judaism also allows for same-sex marriages. Some modern Orthodox communities are also taking some small steps in that direction. But you are ultra-Orthodox. First of all, what does that mean to you?
I find it helpful to borrow language from the queer community about my own religious identity because I think there's a huge parallel there. So I was assigned secular and then kind of came out as Orthodox in high school, went on a right-wing trajectory for the next 20 years, learning in the largest seminaries in the world and really living in that very far right-wing Lithuanian yeshiva world. And now identify as religiously nonconforming. I have very progressive values, which are very much a part of who I am. I also am deeply religious. We all have to express ourselves with some sort of dominant physical form. And so for me, living in an ultra-Orthodox community, dressing the way in which rabbis in my community dress, is helpful in that it expresses to the world who I am at my core. And if we force somebody to choose between a gender identity and a religious identity or a sexual identity and a religious identity, there's only one out of those three, which is a choice. And so people leave religion because they're told that there's no space for them to be who they are.
You say people don't choose to be either gay or lesbian or trans. Look, I said that you said that this new understanding you have, you feel is a holy understanding. And I understand it came to you with a personal experience?
That's correct. Actually, two different personal experiences that really led me in this quest to try to uncover and discover the divine will. First, someone in my family transitioned and said, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. And that led me, as I was a rabbi at Columbia University, to explore gender studies for the first time. And then when one of my students was really struggling as a trans individual, I felt a calling to really come out very publicly as an ally because the rabbinic voice, I don't think, has been loud enough in creating a safe space, that a sanctuary should be a sacred space, a sanctuary from persecution. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, religion now often excludes people.
Your synagogue in Harlem became the first trans-friendly traditional synagogue, but you were still kind of quiet about your support of the community. And then gave a speech at Hanukkah at the Old Broadway Synagogue. And that you call that your coming out speech, becoming public about being an ally.
for me, it felt so reminiscent of the feeling I had when I was 17, 20 years earlier, thinking about whether or not I was willing to kind of take on the precarity of acknowledging a truth that I felt in my core to be absolute and objective, but was going to have consequences.
You mean what? About becoming ultra-Orthodox, accepting a religion?
And it was a similar struggle at 37 to come out again in that place of embarking on a journey to discover and uncover the divine will in a space that was very new for me. I think faith is a call to action. And when we're willing to do something in partnership with God for the greater good, and there's risks involved, I think that there's a way in which we manifest the divine will in the world of action.
Well, but not everyone agreed in that moment, and you lost your job. You have taken up other advocacy work, but do you feel a little bit in the wilderness?
It's lonely and isolating in that this space isn't occupied with other people with my background. And I think that's just the way it is when it comes to progress. But we also have some old truths that we can ground ourselves in, which are that God loves us more than we love ourselves, and God doesn't put extra people in this world, and God so desperately yearns and longs to be in relationship with each one of us. And unfortunately, the suicide rate among, you know, the trans community for those who are not validated and affirmed, it's over 40%. Mm-hmm. And so whether we understand the meta question of where gender lies is almost irrelevant, because we do understand the practical obligation to create a safe space for folks.
Well, you being in the wilderness and feeling outside of has, I'm sure, given you even more empathy than you already had for this community, and they need it. Earlier this year, we interviewed Chavi Weisberger, who spent years fighting for her kids. She came out as a lesbian. They were taken away. She lost her entire extended family. I'm sure you hear stories like that.
Every day. And as a straight white cis male, for me, on a bad day, is still much more privileged than most trans folks on a good day. There is a lot of work to be done. And if we want to create a space where everybody is welcome, then we can't marginalize or exclude anybody.
Do you think things might shift? I mean, there was a statement released in 2010 by a faculty member at the liberal Orthodox school saying that it couldn't sanction homosexuality but should welcome gay people as full members of the community. Do you see this shifting even further?
At the intersection of tradition and innovation, there is a lot of tension. If you change the rules too much, it's a different game. But if you don't adapt, no one's going to show up to play. And I think the far right part of Orthodoxy has drawn some lines with Sharpies, very permanent lines. But the problem is that that no longer fits the topography of the universe. And as rabbis, we're taught not to answer questions, but to answer people. And so the needs of people today are just different. So we don't need to change the tradition, but we need to recognize that its application to people needs to look different because people look different.
What do you say to the people who, to them, it's desecration? That's the same in fundamentalist Christianity. There's a strong belief that it is against God's will. It's an abomination.
Sure. So nobody can ever own the relationship of another with God. And I think that we need to have much more autonomy given to the individual to own and take responsibility for our relationships with God. You know, when we have rabbis getting in between a person's relationship with God, it gets crowded. If a person is genuinely and sincerely on a quest to discover the divine intention, that struggle for truth is as holy as it gets.
By the way, and it's also occurring to me as I speak with you, that you had your transcendent moment through meeting transgendered people. The words were so much alike, right?
Yes. We find transitions deep within our tradition, from holiness to the mundane, from the day into the night. And sometimes it's a contradiction to the physical, because that plane of spirituality might look different than what we see with our physical eyes. Then if we have gendered aspects of God in our liturgy, our father, our king, and feminine aspects, and God doesn't have a body, so then where might gender lie? And what might that tell us about those who are able to kind of sense things perhaps on a soul level?
That is ultra-Orthodox Rabbi Mike Moskowitz, one of only a handful of ultra-Orthodox Jewish clergy advocating for the LGBTQ community as a straight man. Rabbi Moskowitz, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.